Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio. Where you're listening is our business. I'm Brian McCallan. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. According to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT Media Lab, visually impaired people report numerous problems using current technology in terms of accessing printed text. The problems include efficiency, mobility, accuracy, focus, and alignment. Today's guests, PhD student Roy Shilkrot and Professor Patty Mays of MIT's Media Lab, are developing a special finger-worn device. The prototype device is appropriately called the Finger Reader. The Finger Reader plans to assist the visually impaired with efficiently and effectively reading paper printed text. Roy and Professor Mays join us to talk about the Finger Reader and how you might soon get one of these life-changing devices for the blind. Welcome to the show, Roy and Professor Mays.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
So we'd like to learn more about you two first. Professor Mays, I understand that you're an Alexander W. Dreyfus professor at MIT's Media Laboratory and an associate department head of the college's Media Arts and Sciences program. In addition, you started and you currently direct the lab's Fluid Interfaces Research Group. What do you do in these roles? And what's the Media Arts and Sciences program at MIT?
Yes, so I'm a faculty member here at the Media Lab or Media Arts and Sciences program. And we are a graduate level program, so a program where students earn a master's degree or a PhD degree. And we focus specifically on research that intersects technology and people. So I would say the common denominator of a lot of the work that is going on here is that we invent and design new technologies that can empower people.
Roy, you're a PhD student and a research assistant in the Fluid Interfaces Group. Your main interests are computer graphics, computer vision, human-computer interaction, and augmented reality. Tell us what sparked your interest in the development of this new accessibility tool, the Finger Reader, for the visually impaired.
So in our group, the Fluid Interfaces, and in the Media Lab in general, we look at technologies and devices that we can do that will have the greatest impact on people's lives. And we look for things that we explore, we research, and we look for things that will have the greatest impact. And we started working into looking into finger augmenting devices for the visually impaired, and we found that this is an incredible source, an incredible thing that we could do to better people's lives. And basically, we've been developing since we understood that, we've been developing more and more and looking deeper into how we can assist people. So I would say that what got me more interested in this is basically the feedback that we got from the people that we presented our prototypes to. They were really excited about this, and they understood the potential of these explorations. So we basically just stuck with it, and now we're just looking to make it better, make it.
So we don't, in our group, we don't exclusively design technologies for the visually impaired or anything, but it was incredibly rewarding for us to see how our initial, how the early prototype that we designed was received by this community, and we realized that we can make a big difference there in people's lives and the quality of people's lives, which was very encouraging.
So Roy, the Finger Reader, it's a ring-like device that straps itself around a person's finger, and it reads the printed text out loud with a synthesized voice. The device's heavily modified open source software and mounted camera helps out with this task. Explain to us in simple terms some of the technology that allows for the finger reader to help the blind and visually impaired read printed text.
So the concept is very simple. It is a finger-worn camera, a very small camera that mounts on the finger, the back of the finger. Right now we're using the index finger for a number of reasons. And the camera basically looks down the finger, down the finger's pointing direction, and if it sees text under the or above the finger, it will just read it out. It will read it out word by word, and it will also help you scan the text line with your finger until the end of the line and guide you to the next line. So it basically just helps you read any printed text that you can get under your fingertips. And using this finger-worn camera.
Yeah, so it gives you some haptic feedback to help guide you, tell you when you're at the end of a line, when you're veering off the line, maybe moving down too much or moving up too much as opposed to following the text. So it gives you some haptic, tangible guidance to help you with that.
What sort of haptic feedback is this?
So this is a vibration. It's a very, very mild, very comfortable feeling. It's not. it doesn't hurt in any way, and it's basically a feedback of different. There are a few different kinds of feedback that you get that will help you read the line properly. So either going up or below the line. Your rotation of the finger in relation to the line, so you would like to keep your finger straight within the line, your motion of the finger, so that is another feedback that you receive. And it's a continuous, sort of like a continuous feeling, feedback that you get that basically helps you.
Yeah, one thing that we like about this form factor of a ring on the finger is that it is very immediate. You don't have to get a device out of your pocket, like maybe a cell phone or something, and take a picture or start an application, take a picture, and so on. It's a very immediate type of technology that can be used as a result in many different contexts throughout the day. So it's not just for reading, say, books or big pages of printed text, but maybe a business card, a menu in a restaurant, a sign somewhere, etc. It makes all of that a lot more quickly accessible to the visually impaired.
Awesome. How might our listeners use the finger reader to read the text?
So they would wear the ring on their finger, and right now in the current version we have the ring connected to another device. So it could be to a computer, it could be to a mobile phone, and you would simply point your finger at a text, and it's preferable or it's required that you would touch the paper with your finger. It also helps to feel the paper under the finger, and the motion of your finger basically is supported also by that tactile feeling of the paper underneath your finger pad, the pad of the fingertip. And the device that it's connected to will read out to you in a synthesized text-to-speech, like this existing text-to-speech technology. And also will deliver those feedbacks that we discussed.
I understand that some of the type of texts, as you mentioned, that the device reads include books and restaurant menus. But do they include other types of publications too? Give us some examples.
Yeah, I think any text that you may come across anywhere becomes accessible as long as you can touch it with your finger. So what may be harder is, or not possible, is bulletin boards or something, or some text that is a distance away from the user. But anything that is close to you and to your hands physically can be accessed. Personally, I think that for reading an entire book or something, you may still prefer other types of technologies, maybe just a digital version of the book, an audio version of the book, and so on, maybe more practical than using this device. So I think it's primarily designed to make other types of texts all around us accessible, packaging on products, menu items, signs somewhere, and so on.
How about medicine bottles?
Sure, medicine bottles, definitely. Yep.
Usually the medicine bottles come either in very, very small print, so you would have very little, very finely printed things. And we are currently looking at things that are not very, very, very small. And also the one problem that medicine bottles present is that they are curved in books and other kinds of papers are not. But we are looking into any sort of printed form of text. So certainly the labels on medicine bottles could be read under the right conditions.
So the finger reader works like its predecessor, the reading pen. They both do the same things. They read text. But both products, they've got some pretty unique differences. Many of the differences show how the finger reader is better than the reading pen. What are some of these differences?
So the reading pens were not meant to be used by people with a visual impairment. They do not offer any assistance in scanning the words. So you would need to know where the words are, where the start and the end of the word is, and so on, to be able to effectively use the reading pen. It is sort of similar in the way that they both scan the printed word and then read it out to you, or they give you some kind of digital access to it, to that word. But the reading pens offer no further assistance. While we really focus, this is really the focus of our work, is to provide this feedback and this interaction modality that is useful for people who are struggling with understanding where the words are, where they begin and where they end, and so on.
What other new fixtures and features have you got working on for the finger reader?
So first of all, we made a much smaller version of it, and I have a prototype of it already. It's much smaller. It fits. Now has a flexible strap that instead of having a complete plastic case that goes around the finger, and then it would need, you know, different finger sizes would need different finger cases. Now with this adjustable strap, it's much easier to adjust it to any finger size, and you can also make it a little bit you can make much more comfortable. You can loosen it a little bit so that it doesn't hurt. Not that it did before, but now it's much nicer. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking at much smaller cameras. So right now the cameras that we're using are much smaller, and I would say it's if I had to kind of visualize the dimensions, it doesn't go much beyond the width of a standard finger. So it between half an inch and 1 inch, that's the width of the device. And it also fits pretty comfortably on the very last, the very first section of the finger. So it will not be any bigger than the first section of the finger, much smaller actually. So you can think of it as kind of an oversized ring with an adjustable strap.
The kind that you get if you get a degree at MIT or a big brass rat.
Yeah.
Thing.
Or like a Super Bowl win, you know, a Super Bowl winner's ring. They also get these oversized rings. Okay. So it's about that size.
Okay. So Roy and Professor Mays, a Speaking Out for the Blind listener, has a couple of questions for you two. Here's what he writes. Mm-hmm. Dear Roy Shilcrott and MIT Media Lab Professor Patty Mays, How much does it cost? And how does one stay on a straight line on a page without a guide? I have two cameras, one from Kurzweils and one with open reading book from Freedom Scientific already. I am Roy Dubril in Kissimmee, Florida, who am totally blind thanks to retinitis pigmentosa. How do you two answer these two questions about the finger reader?
Yeah, so in relation to the second question, how do you stay within the line? I think we just described, but I can reiterate. So the device basically gives you these tones and these haptic vibration feedbacks, very subtle, that are guides into staying within the line. So if you stray from the line, either up or down, you will hear or you will feel, it depends on you really, you can choose, how to get back on the line. So if you stray too far down, that feedback will become stronger, and then you know to go back up. Same goes if you're going up, or if you're rotating your finger and you're going in a diagonal direction in relation to the line. All of these will become apparent to you using these feedbacks. For the cost of the device, this is something that we have not yet reached a conclusion. I would say it will definitely be more than a few dozens. I mean, it will definitely be more. I think more than $100, but I think it will definitely be much less than $1,000. So there is very big room. But given the hardware and given the software and the development and so on, I think the costs will likely be. I'm not sure. We're just not sure yet. But the cost will be in that range.
Another one of our listeners, Nola McKinney, would like to know if the device works alone or connected to the computer.
So yeah, it works either connected to the computer or potentially your cell phone. So,
what might some of your future research be for you and your team in terms of pursuing any new sort of technology that could benefit the visually impaired, aside from the finger reader?
Yeah. Well, there's other projects that we are working on, both here in my research group and at other laboratories at MIT. One of the technologies that it's still very early, but that another graduate student in my research group is working on is a technology for the visually impaired to be able to learn about math and physics. Making basically concepts that a lot of concepts that are highly physical in nature, making those more accessible by creating a variant of a sort of active or digital braille device that can help with visualizing concepts such as functions, geometry, things of that sort. So that's another project that we're working on, but it is still early stage. Yeah. And in another lab at MIT, the laboratory of the late Professor Seth Teller, but he still has a number of students working at the Lab for Computer Science here at MIT. There's several other technologies being developed there. For example, one technology where the person wears something similar to Google Glass, and it whispers in your ear when you are about to pass by a friend of yours or a colleague or somebody who you know. So it uses image recognition or face recognition software to tell the visually impaired person, here comes Bob or Roy or whatever, and so you know to say hi to that person passing by.
Is there anything else you two would like to add?
No,
No.
for now. Again, it's incredibly exciting and motivating to work on something like this that the target audience is so excited about, and so we're eager to make more progress in this area.
Well, Roy and Professor Mays, you're both an inspiration to the blind who want to pursue careers in science, engineering, or computer science. And your research will have an impact on the blind's ability to read material with ease. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Before we go, let me give our listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode and past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
The First Amendment reads, "The people shall not be deprived or abridged of their right to speak."
The odds are the person you just heard is an African American.
Because African Americans are twice as likely to suffer a stroke as white Americans.
That's twice as likely a stroke could rob you of the freedom to speak your mind.
The freedom to shout from mountaintops.
The freedom to tell your mother you love her.
And it's twice as likely a stroke could take your life.
Therefore, it's twice as crucial for us to do something about preventing a stroke.
Learn how you can help beat the odds.
Start by calling 1-888-4-STROKE or go online to strokeassociation.org.
Join the power to end stroke.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Chris Gray, and I'd like to know if you want to hear more jazz and learn more about major jazz players. If you would, come take a journey into jazz with the ACB Radio Jazz Guys, Chris and Don. We focus on jazz greats from the 20s through the 60s, even beyond. Every other show is pre-recorded, and in these shows, we explore people, instruments, and themes. Alternate weeks are live. Come join Chris and Don every week on Monday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, and in the afternoon on the West Coast, 3 p.m. Pacific. Come on a journey into jazz with your ACB Radio Jazz Guys, Chris and Don.